Welcome to the Essence of Health Tea Time Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Shayla Toombs Withers. As a double board certified family and obesity medicine physician with over 12 years of experience in medicine, I teach motivated individuals how to achieve their desired quality of life while preventing and reversing chronic diseases. It's tea time.
What part of your health journey is most challenging? Is it the actual effort of sticking to a plan? The cooking and the meal planning? The exercise routine? Not enough time for everything you think you need to do? Or the confusion of it all? If you said yes to any of these obstacles, then keep listening to learn how you can smash these problems just by checking your email. You check your email inbox every day already, but what if checking your inbox brought you better health instead of the stress it sometimes can bring? Well, I have news for you. You can improve your health, get a jump start on improving your health conditions, and start to feel like a better version of you just by checking your email inbox over the next 5 days when you join the free Nourish and Flourish 5-Day Challenge. You'll get health tips, actionable videos, a goal and habit tracker, and healthy recipes every day for 5 days. Better health is the best investment you'll ever make, and this is only a small investment of your time. You have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. The Nourish and Flourish 5-Day Challenge was designed to set the foundation for healthy habits for life. Say yes to yourself today and sign up now at drshayla.com/NF Challenge. I'll also place these details in the show notes. The essence of health is in you. See you in your inbox.
On today's episode of the Essence of Health Tea Time Podcast, I have a special guest, Dr. Lindsay Ogle. Dr. Ogle is a board-certified family and obesity medicine physician who is passionate about preventative health. Her goal is to help patients stay healthy so that they may live longer and fuller lives. She recently started a telehealth clinic called Missouri Metabolic Health, where she helps adults all throughout the state of Missouri treat and prevent metabolic conditions like diabetes, fatty liver disease, metabolic syndrome, and overweight and obesity. She does this through lifestyle optimization and utilizations of safe and effective medications. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lindsay. I'm excited to have you join me today.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited to talk with you and your audience.
Yeah. So first, before, you know, we even talk about weight loss and medications, just even share with us why you went into the field of obesity medicine. What really motivated you in terms of that field?
Yeah, absolutely. So I went into family medicine because, like you introduced, I have been passionate about preventative health. And so that was always my goal, was to help patients become and stay healthy so they can live longer and fuller lives. And so I chose primary care. And during my residency program, I was exposed to obesity medicine during some elective rotations and worked with some really amazing doctors who introduced me into the field. And I was able to see what a improvement in their patients' lives they were able to make. Their patients were very happy when they were coming into the office, and they were able to get off lots of their medications. Their blood pressure was improving. Diabetes was better controlled. Cholesterol numbers were better. And like I said, yeah, able to stop other medications. It was just really wonderful to see. And so I wanted to explore that more. And then did my own studies in obesity medicine and took the board exam last year.
Awesome. That's exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so even for you, what are some of the things that you're, you know, even excited about that has even evolved over the years in the field of obesity?
Yeah. So obviously I'm pretty new to the field, having taken the exam last year, but even in the couple of years that I've been aware of it and involved in it, it's really exploded in popularity, which I think is wonderful. So more patients are aware of this specialty and are seeking care with obesity medicine specialists, which I think is very important, especially because Some of the newer medications are also exploding in popularity, and sometimes they are prescribed without the appropriate guidance. And so when people are able to work with a specialist, they are getting, I think, more well-rounded care that is going to actually improve their health long term with those health-focused goals, rather than just a goal of reaching a number on a scale or a pant size or a particular BMI. I know that my colleagues that are trained in obesity medicine are really focusing more on health-related goals, which I think is ultimately the most important.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one as well. I finished my fellowship in obesity in 2018, so a little bit longer. But yeah, I agree because, even then there was still such stigma about obesity and about, weight, so much weight bias. But I think it is becoming more readily apparent that focusing on those health measures and those health goals and not even so much what that particular number looks like on the scale, but what that person, looking at that person as an individual and their health status and helping them improve their health by managing the condition of obesity that way. So yeah, I agree with you, Darren, but it's been exciting just to see the trends change over the years in obesity and just what that looks like and how we understand it as a health condition.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the bias in obesity, and that's another thing I'm constantly seeing in our field is that we are really focused on trying to mitigate and eliminate that bias, both with, the terms that we use as clinicians, but also with the advocacy work, that is being done.
Yeah, for sure, which is good. I've met, and I'm sure you probably have too, a lot of patients who, say I've worked for so long, they were afraid to go to the doctor because, every time they went, it was a negative type of, connotation that was placed upon them and a negative interaction. And so just making that more positive for people by having more obesity medicine specialists in the field, I think has helped for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. And so in that same vein, we know that there are many ways to promote weight loss, but we also know that obesity is a chronic health condition. So even when weight loss does occur, so does weight regain on just many, too many occasions for a lot of folks. And so this is really where that medication therapy comes into place for individuals. Now, we know that the GLP-1 medications have gained, quite the news press lately, but I feel like it's to a point where our other available medication options have gotten forgotten or even, dropped off, but they are still viable resources for individuals. And so this is what we really want to talk about today is these other options outside of the GLP-1 medications that are out there. So Dr. Lindsay, just tell us what are some of those available FDA-approved medication options for treatment of obesity that are not GLP-1 medications?
Yeah, so I think of four FDA-approved medications. The first one, the main one in this category is phentermine, but it's part of the sympathomimetic amines, but most commonly prescribed is phentermine. Next on the list is Qsymia, then there's Contrave, and then Orlistat. So those are the four main FDA-approved medications that I think of. And we can kind of go over how they work and their effectiveness and who it may or may not be good for.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, just tell us even ones that you found to maybe show the most promising results, and then maybe a few factors that even determine, what may be a good choice for certain people.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with phentermine. It is the one that has been around the longest. So I think it was like around 1960 it was
It's a
approved.
nice and old drug.
Right. So we have a lot of data and, decades of use to back up its effectiveness and its safety. There are some people who are concerned about the safety because in the past it was combined with another medication, which that combination was proven to be unsafe. But phentermine alone, we have been prescribing it for decades, and it is safe to use for weight management.
I'll say it. Dr. Lindsay's being nice. Fen-phen was the one, folks, that we do not use anymore, and that we do not, want you to use either. So, phentermine is not fen-phen. They are two different drugs.
Right. So thank you for clearing up that confusion, because it can be confusing. Phentermine is a controlled substance, so it is a stimulant medication, and that is something to be aware of. So this is something that you do need to see typically an in-person doctor for, so they can check your vitals, your blood pressure, your heart rate, and they can monitor that over time, because those are some of the side effects that we think of. So making sure that it's not affecting your heart rate and your blood pressure. Even though it is a stimulant, it's not one of our very strong stimulants. Like, it's not, I typically compare it more to a caffeine level of a stimulant rather than something like Adderall or that we use for ADHD. So most of my patients who can drink a cup or two of coffee in the morning can tolerate phentermine. So that's more of what I'm looking at for that comparison. But if you don't tolerate caffeine, then maybe this one is not for you. We, like I mentioned earlier, there are some other medications in that class that we could try that may be better tolerated, which could be another reason to work with an obesity medicine specialist, because we're aware of those options. But the class as a whole really helps with appetite suppression. So I use this for patients who are telling me I'm just constantly hungry every time I reduce my calories or, go on a new nutrition plan. It's difficult to maintain that because I'm constantly hungry. And this medication can really help with that appetite suppression. I'll say that there are a few states that limit the use to 3 months at a time, because that technically is what is FDA approved, is a 3 month period of phentermine. But us in the obesity medicine world who have been trained using this medication, we know that it is best when it is used long term, because once you stop the medication, then the hunger comes back and weight regain can occur. So we typically use it longer term when we are able to, if we're not in one of those states that limit it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you pointed that out as well, because and some of that stems from the old thought that obesity was just, a willpower disease and it was not a true health condition. But now we know that that's not true. And so, yeah, these medications can be used long term and can be safely under for those who are under the care of an obesity medicine specialist like yourself, so that they can be closely monitored for safe use of these medicines. And I feel like, phentermine is it's pretty popular too because it's old. So I see a lot of people who, will come on phentermine, but I also feel like a lot of people don't realize what phentermine can do. So I'm glad you pointed out those other potential side effects so that people can be aware of that. Because I just, sometimes people say, well, you can get phentermine on every corner, every spa or whatever, but it should be monitored carefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes me think of another benefit of it being older medication is that it's very inexpensive. So if cost is a concern, if your insurance is not covering weight loss medications, then phentermine is usually $10, $20 out of pocket.
Yeah, for sure. If you're frustrated with your weight, taking more medications than you'd like to, have been told that you are at risk for the development of a chronic preventable disease, or just are not feeling in the best of health, then I'm talking to you. Why? Because you're tired of fad dieting. You know it's time for a change, and you want a sustainable plan to improve your health. If you have found yourself at this place in life, well, I have developed a program that's just for you. It's called The Essence of Health, and it's your prescription for transformation. My goal with this program is to give you the tools needed to create sustainable lifestyle changes within a group coaching setting, along with one-to-one individualized coaching to give you a personalized path to health that's just for you. The benefits are priceless, so join today. Head on over to eohcoaching.com to learn more. The essence of health is in you. So what else do you pull out of your pocket there?
Yeah, so next on the list, Qsymia is a brand name of a combination of phentermine and topiramate. And so that combination of using two different medications makes it a little bit more effective than the phentermine alone. And so with phentermine, I typically or we typically see a weight loss of like 7-10%. And then with Qsymia, it's a little bit more of like 9-15%. And these are averages. Some people, don't respond to them. Some people will respond more, but that's what we're kind of looking at. So we talked about the phentermine portion of Qsymia, but the topiramate, that's a medication we use for lots of different reasons. So we can use it for migraine prevention. We use it as an anti-seizure medication. It can be a mood stabilizer at times, and it can help decrease alcohol cravings. There's lots of things that we use it for. So if I have any patient who has, those conditions as well or those goals, then Qsymia is a great option for them. One important thing with Qsymia and topiramate specifically is that you do not want to take this medication if you are pregnant or have the potential to become pregnant because it can be associated with birth defects. And really, any of our anti-obesity medications we do not want to use during pregnancy, but specifically topiramate and Qsymia is there. So I kind of think of it as like a next level to phentermine, and that's kind of how I use it for my patients.
I agree. Yeah, it is. It can give, folks just a little something extra there in terms of their weight loss support as well.
Yeah. And then next is Contrave. This is another combination medication of Wellbutrin and naltrexone. And these are other medications that, we use for other reasons. So the Wellbutrin we use for depression, it's a non-stimulant ADHD medication. It is used for patients who are trying to cut back or stop smoking. And then the naltrexone, it's an anti-opioid, meaning that it turns off the opioid receptors. So that's important to know. So you cannot take opioids with this medication. And we also often use it for people who are trying to cut back or stop alcohol use. So again, if my patients have these conditions or goals, this is a great option. And combined, they really help with like emotional eating. That's what I see the benefit for my patients. So people who, when they're really stressed, they turn to food to help manage that stress. The Contrave can be it can be helpful in those situations. Of course, working with like a coach and a therapist along with that for help creating better or alternative coping mechanisms for stress management can be helpful, but the medication can really help augment that as well.
Yeah, I also like Contrave and folks who tend to have a lot of cravings because, we know the bupropion and the naltrexone, the way that they hit within the brain receptors as well to help for those cravings. So I tend to use it as well in those type of individuals who, well, I just can't help but eat that, ice cream bar or whatever it is. And need some support there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing those with us. And something else that, just touch base on, I think a lot of people don't realize is that these oral options, they actually come from very old medications. So medications that we use for years that were then combined to create some of these weight loss medications for the FDA indication for just for weight loss. But for listeners, you can still feel comfortable from a safety perspective because these medications, even as individuals, have been used for so long too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that also brings up a thought is that I often, if a patient's insurance does not cover these medications, then I often prescribe them individually, as you mentioned, how they've been coming for a long time. So that is an option as well for a more affordable path.
Right. Yeah, for sure. The same as well. Because, yeah, you can generically just break them up. It's more pills to take for the patient, but it is. It's more affordable by breaking them up that way as well. And so, Dr. Lindsay, what are some of the other medicines that may not necessarily be just FDA indicated for obesity treatment, but can also promote weight loss?
Yeah, so the first one I think of is metformin. This is something that we use often. It's a type 2 diabetes medication, so it can help with anybody who has insulin resistance. So if you have insulin resistance, it can make it harder to lose weight. And so taking the metformin, I've heard it described as evening the playing field. So it takes down that barrier of weight loss. And so while it's not going to suppress your appetite, it's not going to help with fullness, it's going to make those lifestyle efforts that you're implementing more effective and like it would be if you did not have insulin resistance.
Right. Yeah. And I like that explanation as well too, that you say, yeah, leveling the playing field. It does. It helps your body to get that balance out of, in terms of what it should be doing naturally to support your hormonal balance there in terms of insulin release. Yeah,
Absolutely.
for sure. And then are there a lot of times, and you touched on this a little bit earlier, where people think, well, I reached my weight goal, so I'm gonna take this contrary for 3 months and hey, I'm at goal, so I can just go off of it, right? So what are your thoughts on long-term use and why that should be supported?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of the most common questions I get from patients is how long do I need to take the medication? When we're first starting off, it can be a little intimidating to start a new medicine. So I always emphasize, if you're having side effects, it's not working for you, we can always stop it. This is not something that, you're signing a contract that you have to take it long term. You have control over, whether or not you take the medication. But if it is working for you and you're tolerating it well, then my recommendation is to continue it long term because once you stop the medication, then those benefits that it was giving you are going to go away. They don't stay in your system, after you stop the medicine, just like any other medication that we use. Like if we're using a blood pressure medication and it's controlling your blood pressure, when you stop the medication, your blood pressure is going to go back up. So we see the same thing with weight management. I also share that, if somebody is taking other medications for chronic conditions that may be re weight related, even though they're going to take their weight medication long term, they will likely be able to reduce or go off of their other medications and ultimately be taking less medication if their weight is managed.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point as well. And then, another way to think about it, there are even some medications that we prescribe. Give the example of mental health medications that can actually promote weight gain. And so for someone, if that was their reason, a contributing factor to them gaining weight, then it would still be helpful for them to continue their weight management medication as well long term so that they can continue to manage their weight, which is also supportive of their mental health too with that. So folks, listening, you don't necessarily have to go off of these medications. Now, there are lifestyle things that can help, and we know that. And as Dr. Lindsay spoke to that point of, once you do achieve certain goals within your health, which is also the point of helping with weight loss too, to help you achieve certain health goals. But then the lifestyle factors do come into play as well in terms of helping you to reduce medication use and helping you to stay at that goal that you've achieved for a longer period of time as well. So tell us about some of those lifestyle modifications that you typically recommend with the medications.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that I view medications, and I like to explain this with my patients, is that they're really a tool to help you implement those lifestyle changes. So the medications can take away, or can make it e potentially easier to implement those lifestyle changes, but that is what really is going to help your health long term. And I'm also somebody who really emphasizes the importance of small changes over time. So I'm not going to push anybody to, change their whole routine and their whole diet and everything at once. I'm looking for sustainable changes that they can continue long term, because again, we're looking big picture. But the things that we talk about are nothing new. You've heard it before, but you've heard it because they're effective. So as far as nutrition goes, focusing on whole foods, limiting added sugars, making sure you're getting enough fiber and protein to help you stay full and improve your gut health, making sure that you're drinking plenty of water, being physically active. And I encourage any activity that you enjoy, because again, we're wanting to do this long term. Exercise is not punishment. Exercise is for your health. And we do know that the people who are able to maintain their weight loss long term, they are exercising on a very regular basis, on average of an hour most days per week, which sounds like a lot, but most of these people are walking. And so walking counts as exercise. So definitely just moving your body is very helpful. And then sleep and stress, for a lot of people, these are the can be the most difficult to improve. So always talking about sleep hygiene to help get 6 to 9 hours, depending on what is best for your body. And then stress, that stress management can look different for everybody, but carving out some time for yourself and doing something that you enjoy. And it may also be mean working with a coach or a therapist, someone that you can lean on and talk to, building community around you, friends and family, or if you're involved in church, that's a great opportunity as well. So all of those things to help support you in your health journey.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll piggyback off of that. One thing I like to tell people when they think about movement and exercise is to think of it as intentional movement. Because I do think a lot of people equate exercise to this chore or this, punishment, like, oh, I gotta go exercise kind of thing. But think of it as intentional movement. So you're moving your body with intention of achieving some type of goal. So whether that goal be you want to take one less blood pressure medication or you want to lower your blood sugar, you are moving your body with the intention of that in mind. So like Dr. Lindsay said, do something that you enjoy, whether it be going dancing, riding a bicycle, walking, what have you, but do that activity with intent. Even if it's, saying, I'm going to take the stairs more often, we'll do that, and instead of getting on the people mover, but moving with intention. And I'm glad you touched on that stress and sleep piece as well. And for the listeners, I did a whole episode on how stress can affect your waistline. So you can take a listen to that one. But it's just so important. And I think, a lot of us don't tend to realize that because, we have people who are, you're working every day, whether you have a spouse or partner, if you have a couple of kids and life, your plate's full. And those factors can definitely compound and affect your weight and affect your overall health. So managing that healthfully as well is just so important to achieving and sustaining that goal for your weight and for your health. Okay, now can you share with us just one of your patient success stories that really illustrates just that comprehensive approach or effective weight management?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a patient, she's about in her early 60s. She started seeing me January 2023, so it's been a little over a year and a half. She started gaining weight in the postmenopausal period and has really struggled with losing that weight that she gained. She did end up starting a medication, but she also started exercising as well, along with that, and focusing on her nutrition. As far as the exercise, it started off with walking. But as the weight started to come off, she was able to be more physically active and then started doing Pilates as well. And when I saw her a couple of months ago, she's now doing ab exercises. So she's increased what she can do during this period of time. She's felt so much better. She said her quality of life has drastically improved. She's sleeping better, has more energy. She's becoming more connected with her community. She's actually been working with advocacy groups to help get these weight medications approved through
Oh, that's
insurance. And
awesome.
she's, yeah, and she's active on some Facebook groups, giving encouragement to others. So I'm just love that patient story because, like I said, she's felt so much better and it's really changed her quality of life. And she's hoping to give back and help others.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it does. I love the work, that I do as well in the field of obesity and metabolic health, because it's so great to see people improve their quality of life. And even just when, patients come and say, "Oh, I just feel amazing. I feel great." And it's not, they're not even focused on saying, "Oh, I feel I'm 150 pounds," but it's no, I feel great, And so it's
Yes.
that number, that's there, but it's just, it's helped their overall, their health and their wellness. Truly what it's about, for us. So, why we even do this work, I know for me especially, that feels good.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels amazing.
All right, Dr. Lindsay. So any other points you wanted to touch on before we wrap up today?
I just want to empower patients to talk to their provider about their weight if that is a concern that they have. And if they're not getting the answers that they want or the guidance that they need, then it is okay to search for another provider and maybe look into someone who has been trained in obesity medicine so you can get the tools and the support that you need to improve your health.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, and tell our audience, how can they connect with you more?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, all under my name, Dr. Lindsay Ogle. And I think the links will be included so you'll be able to find those. And then my telehealth clinic in Missouri is called Missouri Metabolic Health, and the website is just missourimetabolichealth.com.
Okay. And so you're able to see folks all across the state of Missouri, correct? Was that?
Yes.
All right. Awesome. For sure. So listeners, we will definitely put those links for Dr. Lindsay in the show notes. So if you are in the state of Missouri, you can give Dr. Lindsay a call and get that support that you need. Well, thank you, Dr. Lindsay, for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining me today on the Essence of Health Tea Time podcast. Click the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss a moment of the Essence of Health Tea Time podcast. Check out the show notes to obtain your free tips for healthy living guide to get you started on your health and wellness path. Follow me on social media at Essence of Health Wellness Clinic on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And at dr.tw@eohwc on TikTok. Interested in becoming a member of the Essence of Health Coaching Program? Well, head on over to www.eohcoaching.com. The Essence of Health is in you.